Love this podcast? Consider supporting this show. You decide how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Visit the link in the episode description to support now.
Welcome to the Mixtape Lounge. Please welcome your host, Greg Howard Jr.
Joining me this week in the Mixtape Lounge, it is Ethan from Bottle Moth. Hello.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So tell me and the people who may not be familiar with Bottle Moth, what can we expect from the band?
Yeah, I mean, so we formed in January this year out of a couple of different bands. We've been playing in those bands for many years, lots of DIY touring and releasing lots of things. But this year we are releasing our first album, which we're really excited about. So we released our first single, Tattoo, last month, or earlier this month, depending on July or August. And then we have a second single coming out on the 1st of August. So yeah, really excited about it.
So did you always want to be a musician?
Yeah, I think so. I think that when I got bought a guitar for Christmas one year because I was playing too much PlayStation. I think my parents thought that would make me stop, and it didn't make me stop, sadly. So I still play a lot of video games. But I think that growing up, there was a really good gig scene in our little hometown, and lots of touring bands came through, and we just wanted to be a part of that. So I think we've always been in bands growing up. And I think I probably always will be in a band until I stop living. So, yeah.
Of the songs that are on the album, do you have a personal favorite?
I've lived with it for a little while now. So the album we recorded here in my house, and that was like, probably we're recording that over, I don't know, sort of 6 months onwards of like putting the songs together. So we did it all from nothing, basically. So we wrote the songs and produced the songs and then sent it off to be mixed after the end of that. So it changed quite a lot. The one that we're releasing on the 1st of August, Everything Works Out in the End, has become one of my favorites. I think that it just took so long to put together, and it sounds so different now from the original sort of takes that we had of it. I think that time really has let it grow within me. But yeah, I'm really proud of the whole thing, though. So it's quite hard to say if there's one or not that I would say is a standout for me now.
I think that. So we're in kind of this landscape where it feels like anybody with an internet connection can put out music. Mm-hmm. What is it that sets Bottle Moth apart from everybody else?
That's a really good question. I guess, like, in terms of what we're trying to achieve, like I said, we've been in bands forever. And I think that for a long time, you can get boiled down to, am I going to be successful? What is success to me? Am I going to make this my full-time thing? And I think we're kind of all at points in our lives now of where we're happy to be flexible with things. There's almost no pressure now as well. And we're very happy just diving in and making things that are really creative. And I think that lack of wanting to make it something that needs to be something is what's making it more special in a weird way. Like sort of taking the training wheels away and just riding, but it's been really, really cool with it. But I guess like we're inspired by lots of different bands, but we don't necessarily fit in one place, So I feel like we are inspired by lots of bands like Fire and Rabbit, Manchester Orchestra, Pine Grove, Fleet Foxes. So we probably fit into that kind of mature indie folk sound. But at the same time, you could probably put us on a bill with a punk rock band, and we'd make the set work. So I guess that's what we're aiming for, is just to be able to play lots where it makes sense, and to continue to just release, hopefully, the best music that we can.
Thinking back to when you were in your first band to now, how has your creative process changed?
When I first bought a guitar or was given a guitar, the first thing I was doing on it was writing songs, and I wasn't necessarily learning how to get better at it. And I was in a ska band for a moment, and I was a pretty rubbish guitar player for a long time, just playing upstroke ska songs. But I think that my writing now, because so I tend to lead the writing and then bring it to the band of like the song, is I often am working lyrics first now and then putting it to music later. Whereas I think back then it was very much like, here's some chords. Let's just this song needs lyrics. We'll do that last. And maybe they're more meaningful now because of that, or at least they mean more to me. So
Which Disney princess do you most relate to?
that's a very difficult question. I feel like Mulan is definitely like one of the band's favorite Disney movies as well.
Nice.
So maybe I just think of that because we used to have a mixtape in the van that had like some tracks from Mulan and Hercules and things like that, and it was some of our like warm-up show things when we were doing lots of touring. So I think probably Mulan, just because like there's a bit of a coming of age story there of like just going against the grain. Yeah, Mulan, it's a great
I love
movie.
that. So if you could go back in time to the minute that you were given that guitar, would you do anything differently in your career?
Don't think so. I think like I said earlier about how you measure success, maybe I probably would have chilled out a bit more. Like I've definitely at a point where we're all just having a really good time with it now, and I feel like our best work is coming from that too. Maybe I would have learned to record earlier as well. It was only through the pandemic that I had a moment of some time off that I spent just hours on YouTube learning how to record. And there was a moment there of, oh, I've been recording wrong forever. So I probably would learn that first. And maybe I would try and learn more instruments earlier, because it's more difficult when you have less time to try and pick up new instruments and new things.
If the band could go on tour with anybody in the world, who's the dream artist?
I feel like our favorite bands collectively, our bands, probably Manchester Orchestra is one of our favorite bands to we'd love to tour with one day. Similarly, like my favorite band is like the Gaslight Anthem. I got to see both of them this summer at festivals. That was really great. So probably those would be like dream bands. But I guess we've never really talked about it in that way as well. Like it's more just trying to find the right audience for what we're doing too.
When you're writing songs, how do you go about balancing artistic expression with commercial appeal?
I'm not very good at writing long songs anyway, to be honest. I think I've even on the album, like through the whole album, there's maybe only one song that's or two songs that are over 4 minutes. So in that way, they probably already are a little more radio friendly than a lot of other bands, maybe. But that's probably an own personal challenge, is that I'd like to try and create some songs that have got a bit more that can be more fleshed out, I suppose. But growing up with lots of pop songs and lots of just like pop punk and things like that too, that I really loved in my teens, they were always short, snappy songs anyway that were all about the chorus. So I think whatever we're singing about, that method has been ingrained within me. So maybe when we get to album two or three, there'll be a really long, lovely prog song, but we're not quite there at the moment.
What would you say is the coolest thing about being a musician?
I think the coolest thing is when you're all together on stage is my favorite part of all of it. There's just nothing else like that as well when you've got a crowd there that's really feeding back with you. But also just the friendships you make along the way, not just even within the band, the people you meet, like everybody from people at venues, people at promote the promoters, label friends, anybody like that as well. And I think we've been super lucky over the years to meet lots of great people that have been really helpful for us.
How does Bottle Moth maintain authenticity in what is very much a superficial and image-driven industry?
That's a really good question as well. I think that we're I guess that's maybe the main thing, right? That so much of this is like about image first, and whilst we're more conscious about that than I think I was in the beginning, we're just kind of being who we are as well. So I think there's no pressures like of oh, we're all gonna dress in suits today or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like we haven't got like a gimmick in that way. I wouldn't be against having a gimmick around the band. Probably makes it a little bit easier having a bit of a uniform. But right now we haven't got that. I guess like the things that we write about is mostly about being there for your friends, trying to be the best person you can be, not being afraid to be on your own. The album very much is about living through your 20s and the different struggles that come up through that. So it's nothing that's like super, super serious, but it is things that we all deal with and have to go through. So there was a definitely like a cathartic process with the writing of the record for that reason. And how to stop it being superficial, I think that's always just how people are gonna perceive you, right? It's very difficult to know whether you're doing something that's ultra pretentious or whether you've done something that the curtains are pulled away and everyone sees, yeah, you're not really that cool. But I guess when it's image first, like the people that most people think are really cool probably aren't as cool as you think they are too. So
Now you've kind of already touched on this a little bit, but how does Bottle Moth define success?
I think that success for me now is I would love to just be releasing a record every 18 months and have some kind of fandom around that so it sustains itself. I'd obviously love to be on a stage like Park or Woodsy at Glastonbury, something like that. So our ambitions aren't small in that way, but I think I would be happy if I was releasing a record every 18 months to 2 years of just music that we're really proud of. So that's probably where how I measure success now. And it's quite different to when I was in my early 20s, maybe when I was thinking like, no, gotta go and make it, man. Whereas I don't really necessarily feel as much in that way. Like it doesn't have to happen in that way anymore. I think that the nature of being able to do so much online as well is really helpful, and to be able to just put our music out without having to really stress about pitching to labels if we didn't want to is really exciting, and knowing we can reach a lot of people organically. So
Which Bottle Moth song do you feel like most deserves a Grammy?
from the album or just in general though as well.
Just in general?
I think that so there's a track that it was called Godsend for a long time, but it's on the album. It's called Hold Me Like You Know Me. I'm really proud of that song. I think that it's really come out in a really great way. I'm talking to a friend about doing some like live session versions with that later in the year. It's not going to be a single. It's one of the longer ones. There you go. It's a 4 minute 30 one. But I feel like just a lot of energy went into that song, and again, it changed so much from that very original demo to what it got to at the end. So, and that closes the album. So I think if there was a song that I would love to be considered for something like that, that would be that. Yeah.
I love that title, and now, like, I'm curious to hear it. So,
Oh, thanks.
as a musician, how do you go about balancing? How do you go about having a healthy, like, work-life balance?
So all of us in the band, like, so we're kind of at a point where we all have like full-time jobs anyway as well, and it's not super difficult for a bunch of us to get some time off. It's a bit more difficult for our drummer Tom because he works in a school, he's a teacher, so that's a little bit more difficult for touring. Like if we got an offer to do something tomorrow, amazingly, he would probably make it work because he's a wizard, but like it's a bit more challenging to do something like that. But yeah, to be honest, like if there was a great opportunity, we will make it work, and we want to get out there and we want to play things. I think just having full-time jobs, mortgages, house, you know, all this sort of stuff to w think about, it kind of makes it a bit more serious about when we can do those things as well. So maybe it just gives us an opportunity to take a step back and say, well, do we really need to go and do a 10-day tour around the UK playing to 20 to 30 people? Or shall we just keep the focus on new music, releasing things online, trying to increase our digital presence? You know, maybe something to do with some digital marketing things and create a bit of a fandom first before we try and do that. So I think maybe that's a bit of a natural progression, just the way the world is as well, but also us growing up and having jobs and everything else. So, but for the right tour, I mean, we'd go tomorrow. I'm sure we would. So
Do you consider yourself an artist or an entertainer?
I'd like to be more of an artist than an entertainer, I think. I think, like I say, like earlier I said about like live being my favorite thing. Like there's lots about live that isn't fantastic, you know, like being in a van for 3 to 4 hours, and then, you know, we've done our fair share over the years of shows that haven't had loads of people there. But then, you know, it's when you have those shows that do sell out, or, you know, you've got a great crowd with you, it makes it all worthwhile. And I think that when I'm live, I feel like I'm an entertainer. I don't necessarily feel like I'm putting on a p persona, but I feel like I'm there because people are in front of me, right? So like I'm very much like, you've bought a ticket to be here. We're going to entertain you, and we're going to make it amazing, or as amazing as we can do. Whereas when I'm writing, I feel more like an artist. So I think I'd like to be more of an artist, or perceived more as an artist. I don't think I'm like, my stagecraft isn't, you know, as amazing as some of the bands that are out there as well. So maybe that'll come in time. But I feel like a lot of our live set is just really doing a great job of the songs. And when people then know our songs, it works really, really well. So I'm hopeful that that's where we'll get to once the album is out as well.
Is there a song that changed your life? Not necessarily a Bottle Moth song, but.
There's lots of songs that changed my life. I think that one that's been like back into my life again recently. So I got married, Chess and I got married in March, and kind of the song through the day was the 59 Sound by the Gaslight Anthem. But then there were so many songs that day as well that were those sort of songs, right? Lots of like Elbow and Frank Rabbit even, you know. And so I feel like there's maybe not one song, there's a lot of songs that have changed my life, all for the better though. So
So, is Bottle Moth the band that you thought y'all would be when you started out?
So I mean, Henry and I. So Henry is the bass who plays bass in Bottle Moth. We began a band together in college with an old drummer called Joe, and we only started that project because Joe wanted to start playing the drums in a project. He was singing in another band that I was in and wanted to play the drums. So I think when we started like this band, if this band is the same as that band, if that makes sense, the old Moniker, then no, definitely not, because like back then we just finished university and wanted to go and play like pop indie songs and just get people dancing and have a great time. And I think we're much more now like the band I would like to be f forever, in the sense that our music, I hope, isn't something that just comes and goes. It's got a little bit more of a longer lifespan. So in that sense, definitely.
So tell the folks listening at home and all over the world where they can track down Bottle Moth.
So we're on all social medias from Facebook all the way through to YouTube and everything else as at Bottlemoth, and our website is bottlemoth.com. You can find us on all Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer. We're on there as well for Bottlemoth, and our album will be out in October with singles coming up through the year.
Well, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about you and the band and the music. I have enjoyed this so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Really, really appreciate it. Thanks, Greg.
Stick around for more of the Mixtape Lounge right after this. From the minds that brought you the smash hit podcasts, Your Life the Mixtape, and Headliners comes Your Life the Mixtape Magazine, a free monthly digital magazine that focuses on music, culture, and social commentary on current news and events. Visit www.yourlifethemixtape.com to subscribe today.
Hello there, I want to take a moment to talk to you about Dear Dean magazine from Dear Dean Publishing, my favorite subscription only monthly digital magazine. It's got subscriber-generated content about politics, pop culture, travel, family, pets, and poetry and wellness articles and features, contributor articles from nationally recognized journalists, writers, and artists, and provides opportunities for novice writers and authors and other contributors to share their voice, talents, and words. Did I mention that it's completely free? Dear Dean magazine provides free advert space for small creators, authors, and podcasters, fulfilling its vision that some art should always be free. It's owned and operated by Myron J. Clifton and is designed and distributed by Katia J. Lerner at Buzzword Consulting. Visit deardean.com/subscribe to get signed up.
Hey, Suge. I am the one and only Jennifer Bush Harris, known in other parts of the multiverse as What Jay Said. From the planet of TikTok comes What Jay Said, the podcast. Find me on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. I am a match struck, and fire is at work.
New single No Pressure is out right now for your listening pleasure. Please welcome the always fantastic Mr. Mark Del Judas. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me again.
thank you for coming back. So tell me about the new song.
Yeah, it dropped today, and it's more, this one's more of like a, I want to say like a summer track, kind of, you know, trying to find inspiration, trying to find moments of peace where you're feeling clouded from, you know, whatever's going on in your life. So this is like your escape song, you know, where you go to your favorite spot, you take a big breath, you exhale. So like this is definitely like the a comfort song.
So of the songs that you released thus far, which one is your favorite?
Well, the one I would say that best defines me is Daylight Hours. But as far as like message wise, like message, the message for from an introspective kind of point of view, is definitely this one. No Pressure, for sure.
Which Disney princess do you feel like you most relate to?
Oh, that's a great one. Jasmine.
Nice.
You know, that little like rebel, like jump in the wall of you know what I mean? Like, and just wanna, you know, wanting to see like what the pulse of the you know, of civilization, I guess. Yeah. That's a good question. It's a great question.
So tell me, who is an artist that if they asked you right now, you would drop everything and go on tour with them?
I have two. Jack Antonoff, Bleachers. Love it. And then also a band, well, a songwriter that nobody knows, but like he has so much like he has such a big audience, but like it's one of those things where like you go up to somebody on the street and be like, "Hey, do you know this artist?" They're like, "No." But he, you know, he's huge. It's Fiji Blue.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like songwriting, it's just straightforward. The vocals are up front, you know, the guitars are nice, the it's not overproduced, so the song really just like it's all about the song, and I really it's refreshing.
That's cool. I like that. So if any of Jack's people or any of Fiji's people happen to be listening to the show and you're looking to get on the road, hit up Mark.
Yes. I'm ready. I travel fast and light.
So let's say that money and getting the clearance was no option, like not a problem at all. What is the one song that you would want to cover?
Let the Music Play from Barry White.
Nice.
Yeah,
Excellent
I'm
choice.
working on it. I'm actually I have a version of it, like an acoustic version, but I'm like, I could do that. I could cover this. I could do like a thing here, you know?
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I like that. What's the best Star Wars film?
Okay. Here we go. This is what I know what the best one is, and I have my favorite one. Everybody knows it's Empire. You know, just in a general sense, where, you know, if you were to rank them with, you know, quality wise, like just everything, it's probably Empire. But my favorite, Revenge of the Sith.
Okay.
I'm
All
a
right.
prequel. I'm a prequel baby. You know, so I love those three. I know Empire is the best one, and then Revenge is my favorite. But I also love Return of the Jedi, because Luke is like just full form, and you're like, yeah, okay. But this is like
Empire is the correct answer. Well done.
cool. Okay, good. Yes.
So out of all the songs that you have written, what is the one that anytime you play it, anytime you hear it, you go, that's the one that deserves a Grammy?
Ooh, a Grammy. I guess I would say No Pressure, because it's so there's no I feel it covers a lot of musical ground as far as pop, as far as songwriting, as far as you know, you could put it in anything besides like, you know, straight up like genres, like, you know, like metal and all that stuff. But like if I was to say the most versatile, the current track, No Pressure, where I would like to walk up to the stage and give a big old speech. That'd be great.
So since the release of Daylight Hours, we're now at the release of No Pressure. Have you changed anything about your creative process from that song to this one?
I think my mindset, creative process is always different, so it always changes. Every song is different, you know, like the process of it. So, but the mindset, it's you know, a lot of I know it's a lot to do with numbers. A lot of artists get caught up in it and like, oh my God, like I need to have this much, and you know, and that's just things that you can't control seeping into your head. And that's, I've been getting better with that. Like, I feel like I'm really starting to just love doing it in the moment, you know, and actually just like I go on my Spotify page and I look and I'm like, okay, I got the two songs that are just like exactly what I wanted. And I think that's most important. So if you just put your, you know, your best foot forward and keep doing it from a in an organic way, in a real way, genuine way, numbers will pick up, you know, because I get a lot of when I play live, I get a lot of, you know, I feel the support more. So I kind of rather have it that way.
So speaking of like the numbers and all that stuff, if there was one thing that you could change about the music industry, what would it be?
I guess the numbers thing where, you know, they don't care what the song sounds like. They just see like, oh, well, it's like analytics in sports. It's like, oh, well, this is like, you know, people are listening for this long and the algorithm is pushing it. And I get that. I get the part where it does come down to the people, which is nice because the algorithm is only pushing what the people are listening to. But I also feel if they just took a little bit more, if they took some more chances on some artists that need the help, the algorithm would push them too. Yeah.
Okay. So it's interesting you brought up the algorithm that leads us into my next question. Talk me through how you plan out your social media content.
But okay, so it's like kind of, it's kind of like a paradox. You want to plan it, but also you don't want to overthink it. Because once you like, if you over edit, it's like, I don't know, something, there's something about it that just doesn't look good about it, that doesn't flow right. You want to make it as organic as possible, but you also don't want to put yourself in that position where like you're forced to just give a half-baked, you know, post a half-baked a baked idea. So you want to have a good idea planned for a post, but then give yourself enough time to be creative where you have like enough time to like really like feel good about it. If you feel good about it, then it's win-win.
If the producers of a James Bond movie came to you and said, Mark, we need a song right now for the new movie, do you have one?
Let me think. James Bond. Like what? Like at the end, like when the credits hit?
Yeah.
Ooh. I think, yeah, I do. It's I don't have it out yet, but it's called which one would I pick? It'd probably be, I wouldn't do anything romantic. Oh yeah, Victim in the Dark.
Oh, nice.
That's what I would do. Yeah. Yeah,
Nice. That even sounds like a James Bond title.
right? Yeah,
Love
it's got a
that.
little bit of a,
Yeah.
there's a beat to it too, so yeah.
So not necessarily like one of your own songs, but is there a song that changed your life?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a bunch. I want to say Fragments of Time from Daft Punk. That's on the Random Access Memories album. It's just there. Nobody, you know, I feel like nobody knows about that. That's my favorite song of all time. And then I would probably say it was more albums too. I'd say Darkness on the Edge of Town from Bruce, for sure. And then Bleachers, Strange Desire. That's a good one. And I know there's one more. Yeah, the 1975, She's American.
Nice.
That's a really, that I was like, oh, synthesizer. Like,
So being you're from New Jersey, right? Okay. So being from New Jersey as a musician, do you feel like that you kind of have to follow in the footsteps of Springsteen and Bon Jovi?
no, because I went down a different road as far as like inspirations. I know they have different if inspirations than I do. They're more Americana. I feel like I always lean towards more like when I was a kid, like Motown, and like I said, I grew up during the boy bands of the, like Backstreet Boys. Like I liked them. I was a fan until I found until I was a teenager, and I found bands. Like all of a sudden it was about bands, your bands, the bands that nobody knows. And then it just goes into like then you discover Marvin Gaye and What's Going On, and I've been listening to that a lot. And I've always liked, because I guess it's a generational thing where, they weren't influenced by disco. I was. So it's like you kind of, and plus I grew up, I'm in North Jersey, so it's a little different from South Jersey as well. So you're right by New York. I'm like 2 minutes away from New York City. So I feel like that has something a little to do with it as well, as far as just like the different types of music that I was exposed to and like the different generations. So no, I didn't feel like obligated to feel like walk in their, in their shoes or anything. So I mean, he's always going to be an influence for me because the dude, like especially like Bon Jovi, not as much, but like, he kind of, there was that moment where I saw the first time I watched a concert video when he was like, in the 70s, and I was just like, are you kidding me right now? Like the first 3 seconds, like he was in the air. Like he was, obviously he jumped off. I'm like, what is, I didn't know anything could be like that. So if it's coming from like an energy, influence, then yeah, definitely. But as far as genre, like I definitely changed a little bit as far as like, different, like just different influences and what molded me,
So what is next for Mark Del Judas?
Well, a lot of shows, and also planning more releases, keeping, expanding the vision, communicating it, also, growing as an artist. I think that's the most important thing. And as you, if you grow as an artist, then this isn't quotes, the numbers will, happen.
Thank you for taking a little bit of time out of your day to talk to me about the new single and everything that's going on with you. As always, it's a pleasure whenever you come around.
Thank you. You're the best. Thanks for having me, supporting, and yeah, I'd love to, I'll come back anytime. Anytime.
The Mixtape Lounge is a Your Life. The Mixtape Media LLC production in association with Rod Wharton Productions. All rights and trademarks reserved.